For over 6 years, Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak, a Sudanese-born Canadian citizen, returned to Canada after being stranded in Sudan. Detained, interrogated, and tortured by Sudanese authorities in Khartoum after being profiled by the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, CSIS. Abdulrazak was denied the right of return to Canada by successive governments, a clear violation of Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which outlines that every citizen of Canada has the right to enter, remain, and leave the country. Barred from returning to Canada, Abdulrazak's 6 years in exile point to a wider context in which multiple Canadian citizens, including Maher Arar in Syria, face torture and imprisonment abroad, resulting from racial profiling by Canadian and U.S. security intelligence services. In Sudan, Canadian CSIS agents interrogated Abdulrazak in the very same Sudanese prison where military officials in Khartoum carried out violent torture against him. While in exile in Sudan, a solidarity campaign with Abdulrazak emerged across the country. Street protests were held calling on the government to return Abu Sufyan to Canada, a national campaign coordinated by Project Flyhome in Montreal. After months of media coverage and grassroots action, in June, a federal court judge ordered the Conservative government to return Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak to Canada. Today, living in Montreal, Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak continues to struggle for justice and is now calling for his name to be removed from the 1267 UN Terror Watch List, a list based not on law but on association and profiling administered by the UN Security Council, to which Abdulrazak was added at the request of the Bush administration without evidence or trial in 2006. Upon Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak's return to Canada, I had the opportunity to speak with Abdulrazak at CKUT Radio in Montreal. CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and you're tuned into CKUT's community news program, Off the Hour. And we're very honored to be joined in studio by Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for coming into studio today.
Thank you.
You've been back in Montreal for a little while now, after returning from Sudan. How has it felt to reconnect with your family here in Montreal?
Oh, it's a great feeling, actually, because 6 years I've been away from my family and my children, and now I feel great, actually.
They must be very happy to see you.
Yes, I'm very happy, and them, too, very happy to see me. And
It was a long struggle for you to return to Canada, and the struggle's not over?
Yeah, absolutely, it's not over yet, because I'm still on that list, 1267. Mm-hmm. And this need a huge struggle to remove myself from that list.
And that list basically is preventing you from being able to live like a normal citizen. It's not allowing you to have your full rights.
Yes, exactly. That list is forbidding me to live my life like a normal citizen, mm-hmm. and forbidding me to receive many kind of things in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, it basically has barred you from the ability to work at a normal job, to have a bank account, things that a lot of our listeners, people would take for granted, but for you have become impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's forbidden me to have a job and even to have medical care. That's many things in my life.
Medical care also?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you hold the Conservative government responsible? They should be demanding for you to be removed from this list?
Yeah, absolutely, because I'm a Canadian citizen, and this is, I guess, is the responsibility of the government to help its citizens.
Yeah. Back in Montreal, now, you've had the chance to connect with a lot of activists, social activists, who really campaigned for your case, who spent a lot of time to educate people here in Canada about the situation that you experienced in Sudan. That campaign is not over, as you mentioned. You continue to be on the UN 1267 list that now you're demanding to be removed from. But can you maybe talk about how was it to connect with a lot of the people, you know, who really advocated and fought for your return to Canada, just to meet them in person? How was that?
Actually, I'm very glad to meet them because before, while I'm in Sudan, the embassy, some of these activists called me in the embassy and they spoke to me, but now when I came back in Montreal, mm-hmm. I connected with them in person and personally, and mm-hmm. I'm glad to see them and to speak to them.
When you were in Sudan, there was a moment where you decided to go public with your story. I'm sure it wasn't an easy moment, but for many years, you had been imprisoned in Sudan. You told all of Canada about the torture that you experienced. But talk about that moment where you made a decision to say, I want to tell the world my story. How was that? Was that a difficult decision?
After I tried many possibilities to come back to Canada, and I all the time I find my ways blocked. I don't know actually who's blocked my way mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. but in certain time I find out that I cannot come back to Canada because my name on different lists, like for example, no fly list for United States, and later in 2007, my name is on the list 1267. Mm-hmm. And all these lists blocked my way to come back to Canada. Then I don't have other way just to come public with my story because mm-hmm. I seeking the Canadian people help, and just it's very tough decision to take.
And so what really moved you to make that decision? Did you know when you decided to go public, you were all alone in Sudan? Did you have a feeling that people in Canada would move, that people would struggle for your right to return to this country?
Yeah, absolutely. I determined just to go publicly with my story, mm-hmm. I knew that the Canadian people, they're going to help me out to come back to Canada and to reunite with my family.
What made you feel that?
I have this feeling because I know the Canadian people are very generous and mm-hmm. and they are
I understand.
Yeah.
The experience you are living today here back in Montreal is obviously very different from the reality that you faced in Sudan in prison. I think for a lot of people, the idea that the Canadian government, or CSIS, for example, has a connection to torture is something that for many people in Canada is a surprise, something that they wouldn't believe. But, you know, in your major press conference in Ottawa just recently, you talked very openly about CSIS's key role in your detention and torture in Sudan. So maybe just talk about that. How was Canada, the government of Canada, directly involved in your torture?
After my lawyer received some documents from the government, those documents show that the Canadian government is involved in my detention mm-hmm. in Sudan. Automatically, while the Canadian government is involved in my detention, what is happened after, it is kind of result of their actions, and torture, and whatever.
And Canadian officials visited you in prison.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned that in the parliament and the media conference, mm-hmm. and I've been targeted by two Canadian intelligence agents. Mm-hmm.
talk about that experience, because when you arrived in Montreal as a refugee from Sudan, at that time, you probably thought that torture was not something that would be associated with Canada. So when you were back in Sudan and in prison, the idea that Canada would be playing a role in such a horrible experience. I mean, we're sitting here talking today, as I think it's hard for a lot of people to imagine what you went through. But maybe the question would be, do you feel that people in the government need to be held accountable for what happened to you?
Yeah, exactly. I all these people who's responsible about or play a role in this matter, I asked for them to face justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Demanding justice from those people who were responsible for for your imprisonment.
Exactly.
How does it feel today to see your children?
Oh, it's a great feeling, you know. I'm very happy to see them. Mm-hmm.
It must be difficult to put into words what you experienced in Sudan. But maybe one thing that you said quite openly as soon as you came back, and I remember seeing you right after you got back, was that you wanted to continue to hold those people accountable who... were involved in your imprisonment in Sudan, so that it didn't happen to anybody else. You want to make sure that this is a story that ends here, that no other.
Yeah, that's exactly that. I want. What has happened to me, mm-hmm. is not to go to somebody else, because it's very bad experience, mm-hmm. and. I'm really just, I want this to stop here. I want to be the last victims who's experienced these things.
You know, some people who have experienced such difficult situations think about themselves only, but you've chosen to also think about others. Why?
Yeah, because Mia, what I went through.
Yeah.
It is awful. I don't want somebody to test the same thing, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm.
And so returning now to Canada, do you feel like that struggle to make sure that this injustice doesn't happen again to anybody, is that going to be a big part of your life?
Yes, exactly. I will struggle till this to come a reality. This kind of behavior to stop completely, not to happen to somebody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's right now, your story has been told to many people across Canada, but your story is one of many of Canadians who've experienced torture, but torture remains a reality across the world. Do you call for an end to torture internationally?
Yes, exactly. Especially in the... Middle East countries and mm-hmm. African countries and the rest of the world, I want this to stop, because it is very bad experience, you know. And why the human being is to torture? And
Canada is a signatory to the UN Convention on Torture, a very important international legislation. But instead of defending your rights, the Conservative government in Ottawa, actually at one point, a member of parliament actually questioned you while you were in Sudan, participating in the interrogation. Yeah. So what do you have to say about the Conservative government today?
I experienced some people from the Conservative government came to Sudan, visiting Sudan, and interrogated me in the Canadian embassy. Mm-hmm. And this is, it is very bad behavior, because the government is to be there to help the citizen, not to interrogate them and to mm-hmm. ask for detention abroad.
Mm-hmm. And instead of asking you about your conditions or assisting you as a Canadian citizen, the Member of Parliament was doing his own interrogation.
Exactly. That's what happened exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He interrogated me.
And how did that make you feel at the time?
Oh, because I expect from them and to help, to come to help me, not interrogated me. And I feel very bad, you know, because so my hope is gone, you know, because the people whom I just expect the help from them to be my interrogator, mm-hmm. It's made me feel very bad.
You spent quite a few months in the Canadian embassy in Khartoum. You were living in the embassy. Can you take us back to that time? How was it difficult to stay in the Canadian embassy?
Yeah, it's very difficult, like to stay in the embassy with all those policies and the cameras everywhere monitoring your movement. It is very difficult. You know, it's like your life to be monitored by different people in the embassy, mm-hmm. and for me it is like a prison, you know, because I cannot go anywhere. Just stay 24 hours a day inside the embassy compound, and even though it's there is the mentally torture, like mm-hmm. The staff in the embassies, not all of them, but some of them. They gave me a hard time just to leave maybe the embassy or, mm-hmm. yeah.
When you made that choice to enter the Canadian embassy in Sudan, you were looking for protection.
Yeah, absolutely. I look for protection. But after I went in the embassy, mm-hmm. I experienced very, very difficult time because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the way the consulars treated me is a very bad way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was one point in early April where many people from across the country came together and bought you a plane ticket. This was a condition from the government for you to return to Canada, was basically that the plane ticket would have to be secured and paid for by somebody else other than the government. But activists came forward and did that for you. So you had hoped to return at that time. That hope was dashed. The government didn't issue the travel documents to you at the time. It happened later, only after a ruling from the federal court judge. But can you talk about how you felt following the news in Sudan? You were online reading. It was a story about yourself, but you were following it from Khartoum. How did you feel when you were watching the developments?
Actually, I am not in the scene to watch the development. But from time to time, my lawyers just contacted me mm-hmm. through the telephone or to send any fax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were getting updates.
Yeah, update with that, but. Actually, I don't see the movement of the people here in Canada. Uh-huh. Yet I hear about it, you know, just for me, I cannot describe my feeling, you know, because yeah. this kind of mix of feeling. You know.
Yeah, of course. But back to just this idea of the people, back after everything that you've gone through, you keep talking about the role that people have played in your story, in your life. It was not the government's decision to bring you back. But talk about your faith in people's ability to struggle for justice.
Me now, just mm-hmm. I came back to Canada because it's the support of the Canadian people. And I think the Canadian people play a big role in my coming back here to Canada. And really appreciate that.
Yeah. Do you think that people should consider the role that activists played in your case, that people played in your case? This is something that the media doesn't talk about very much, you know. They talk a lot about the legal aspects of your story. But they don't talk about the role that social movements played, but also they don't talk about the strength that you have to maintain yourself. It's not easy to talk about these things to your experience.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I know it's very difficult, but the activists, they played a very obvious role in my case, and I guess they made the pressure on the government just to act properly, and I think they played a very good role, and I hope the media just to mention that and to let the Canadian people to know about the role of the activists.
Today, you're continuing to speak out against injustice. You're continuing to talk. You're continuing to find the strength to speak out. And so, can you talk about finding that strength every day when you wake up to find that strength to go forward to continue? It's something that's it's hard to speak about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very hard to speak about.
Yeah. 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 But today you continue to demand your full rights to be removed from the UN list.
Yeah, exactly. Just this is my goal, you know, just to be removed from that list.
To live a normal life.
Yeah,
you talked about.
Yeah, to live like any Canadian citizen, normal life. And yeah.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to an interview with Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak, a Sudanese-born Canadian citizen who recently returned to Canada after 6 years in exile in Sudan. Detained, interrogated, and tortured by Sudanese authorities in Khartoum after being profiled by the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, CSIS, Abdulrazak was denied the right of return to Canada by successive governments, a clear violation of Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms. After a grassroots campaign in solidarity with Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak emerged across the country, with street protests happening from Halifax to Vancouver to Montreal, a federal court judge in June forced the Conservative government to return Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak to Canada. Today in Montreal, Abdulrazak continues to struggle for justice and recently held a solidarity rally in downtown Montreal with supporters. This interview has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.